Father, again, we want to thank you for the privilege you've given us to be able to come to this, your house, Lord, and study the Word together, O God, as the prophet said, come together to speak it, Lord, and that's what we desire to do, to talk about your Word. Not perhaps this hour one with each other, but communicate in such a way that your Word may take a greater hold of all of our lives, Lord. We might understand it more thoroughly, how it came and its purposes and how all these things are being worked out which have not yet been worked out, though many things have been worked out, but how much more is yet to work out, Lord. Help us to understand that we might be so thoroughly conversant with the Word and in every aspect that it'll be just our very lives, O God. Not just something to study and not some laws laid down whereby we live. And not even the fact that, Lord, the life released in your Word will flow through us in that life, but all of it, Lord, not one facet, but all of it, because we know this is that hour that it will all come together, Lord, for the praise and honor of your grace. So we commend ourselves to you tonight with that purpose in mind, that thought in mind. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're continuing, of course, with the anointed ones of the end time. And you realize that Brother Branham has set before us something which is in the Scripture, has been there all along, but has been unknown until this hour. It's maybe something that was suspected, and perhaps even guessed, and perhaps even some had a good idea about it, but never as in this hour do we realize that there are two kinds of prophets, the true and the false. And the hard part to understand is that both of them are anointed by the same Holy Spirit. That is the thing that really will cause people to disagree or to wonder. How in the world can a prophet be false when anointed by the same Holy Spirit that this true prophet is anointed with? Well, as Brother Branham said, they are that what happens is that the prophet is not true to his anointing. In other words, as we said the other day, when we read Matthew 24 and 24, and it's just about open here before me, it says, for there shall arise false Christs, even lying prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, what we look at in our minds betray us is because the emphasis is put on the miracles and signs and wonders, and we hear of lying signs and wonders in the book of Revelation, makes us feel that these people are coming with signs and wonders that are anything but genuine. And that is not true. The truth of the matter is the signs and wonders are genuine. They are correctly anointed to the gifts, but they're not correctly anointed to the understanding of the Word. And a prophet is not all about gifts. No way. The prophet, what he's all about, is bringing the Word of God, either from God as a fresh word to us, or the same word which has been written, revealed as it ought to be revealed. And, of course, the people who don't understand this will not likely agree with this because the denominations are not teaching this in such a way. And, of course, Pentecostals being the chaff, and I realize that grates on people's nerves, and we'll hear a bit about this a little later on. This evening, it grates on people's nerves when they come out of Pentecost or sitting in Pentecost, and they simply cannot believe that they could be wrong because they feel they're full of the Holy Ghost because they've got gifts. Well, as Brother Branham said so many times, if I give you a gift, I do not give myself. And that is true. Like I've said, if I give you a pen, I do not give you myself, but I give of myself in the sense that I'm giving something from me. And gifts of the Holy Ghost does not happen to be the Holy Ghost himself, but their energies derive from the Spirit of God, showing that they are supernatural and they are not necessarily natural. So, all right, these prophets at the end time, who will be anointed with a genuine anointing by the Holy Spirit, and they will perform things which cause the people to look at them and realize that something is there, and these people should be heard, or this person and those people, as in this case, a true prophet, many false ones. And that's exactly what we have found to have happened in this very hour, as Brother Branham brings out. Now, he takes many scriptures to show his point by illustration from the Old Testament. And having dealt with Balaam and Moses, he turns to talk about Zedekiah and Micaiah in the time of Ahab, who was going out to fight the Syrians, and hopefully he was going to get Josiah to help him. And so there's a sort of a contest between the prophet Micaiah and the prophets of Ahab who are led by Zedekiah. And we stopped last time about paragraph 90, but we're going to go back to paragraph 89 on page 22. And I don't know how far we'll get tonight, but we'll see just how far we can go. Now remember, Zedekiah said he saw God in the same spirit. That's the same spirit that Micaiah said he saw God. I saw God. He told me to make these horns out of iron, go out there and push the nations out of here, for this belongs to us. The others got no right to it. They would have if they stayed right with God. They would have had that, but they got away from God. That's the way the organization is, the church. It's got a right to these things, but you've been cheated out of it because you got away from God's word and God's spirit anointing to vindicate the word of the season. Don't you fail to get this message. Now, Brother Branham used a few sentences in here concerning Zedekiah and Micaiah to the two prophets, one right and one wrong, to talk about himself. Now, the thought is here that Zedekiah... the false prophet to Ahab, the beast, you might want to put it that way, had agreed that according to the word of God, Israel had every right to the promised land in which they were dwelling. And the Syrians and others, Philistines and all, were interlopers, and they had no right to it. And here these people were feeding themselves and their children off the land which belonged to the Israelites, and they in turn were starving themselves and their children when they should have it. And so now, they're going to take things in their hands and make the word of God work. See? They think they're highly qualified to take the word of God and say, this is what it says, this is the way it ought to be, we're going to have it. Now, you can make it work to a degree that way. The Bible teaches that in the Psalms. But leanness will come to your soul. Already these were a lean people. Now, this is good logic, this is good thinking. And so Brother Branham said they would have had it, they wouldn't even have to try to get it back, they would have kept it. It would have been theirs in the will of God, just going along with God and His promises all down the line. If they'd have stayed right with God, they would have had that. But they got away from God. Now, he said, that's the way, and he talks of this hour and himself. And that's the way organization is, the church, or the organized church has done that. Now, watch. It's got a right to these things, but you've been cheated out of it because you got away from God's word, God's spirit, the anointing, to vindicate the word of the season. Now, he uses the word right. You've got the right to these things. Now, this can only refer, in my understanding, to one passage of Scripture, Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to use it carefully and watch how we go here now. Verse 10, he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Okay, something has been unsealed, which was previously sealed, which is Revelation 10. Now that's understandable because it's right in this book. Also, Daniel had sealed up something. So, okay, what was sealed up by Daniel could be opened. We don't know particularly. But this is dealing with the Gentile people. What was sealed up to them? And, of course, it's sealed also by Daniel because history runs concurrently for the Jews and the Gentiles. You've got to watch Scripture where it blends and where it separates, which you understand. But this will belong to us. The unsealing of the book, which gives us the thunders and the seven seals, whatever they are, it is what's going to happen. At that time, he that is unjust will be unjust still. He that is filthy will be filthy still. He that's righteous is righteous still. He that's holy is holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, that's after the visitation of the mighty messenger that comes down from heaven, and that's God himself. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And at that time, the sentence is pronounced. See, now you're looking at this very thing here. What you're watching, Zedekiah with his bunch, and Micaiah with himself and a few others, like Josiah. Okay, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, remember here, at the first, the book was sealed up. Okay, at the end, the book must be opened. It was the Lamb that sealed it. And the book was sealed over there in Luke 4. When he handed the book back and closed it. Only the same one can open it. And he's got to open it where the scripture left off, wherein, well, let's go back to Isaiah 61 and see it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. Now notice the anointing. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim captives, liberty to captives, the opening of prison, them that are blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, close the book. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now notice always blessing and cursing. Abel and Gerizim, never forget it. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and so on. Now, that's why filthy is filthy, righteous, righteous, holy, holy. I'm the first and the last. At this time, the one that's first becomes the last. For he that closes the book opens. For the Bible said God opens a door that no man can shut, and he shuts a door that no man can open. Behold, I kill and I make alive. The negative and the positive. The cursing and the blessing. So this is the time there's going to be a blessing and a cursing, because the Alpha is now Omega and the book is open. Now what happens? Blessed are they who wash their robes, not do his commandments. That's a nice guess, but it's not it. Wash their robes. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs. What are they? The unjust, the unrighteous, the unholy. Dogs are definitely male prostitutes. Now, women don't have a place in the church. We don't even look at them. They can't raise their voice. They can't do one thing when it comes to ministry. So it's got to be men. They got to be dogs. And that's it. You got homosexuals. Dogs. And your dumb dogs can't even bark. They whine and snivel. I hate it. They're sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, idolaters. Whosoever loveth them ain't gonna lie. Alright, now, remember, they have a right. That expresses exclusivity and authority. Now, here's the question. Those who wash their robes have the right. Okay, where do these rights come from? They come from the opening of the book. Now, the book is opened when the mighty messenger comes down and sets his foot on land and sea. And you know that's symbolical. Because remember, the land is what the beast comes up out of, which is America. And the seas are people. So therefore, the messenger, God himself, coming down here to America, has a message out to the entire world, because the bridal call is universal, and the raising of the dead is universal, and the rapture is universal. Alright. Now, blessed are they who have the right to the tree of life. On what grounds? They have washed their robes. Now let's go and take a look at the robe washing. The robe washing is over here in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. You can't read in Galatians if you have to just phone that up. Okay. 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now watch. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. And everybody talks as though that's the present tense. That's a lie. That is not the present tense in the book of Ephesians. That's the future tense. Now let's prove it. The 4th chapter already tells you. Here's the Omega. Verse 7, unto us everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? He also descended first the lower part through him. Now that wasn't the body. He that descended is the same also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. In other words, he's going to fill the church completely as it should be. And that takes over from that point. And he gave some apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but holding the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is hidden in Christ, from whom the whole body, and that's the whole body now, so that's end time. That's end time. That's not beginning, that's not middle, that's not tail end, that's end. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. How many parts are there? Seven. We know in part, right. But you don't know perfection until the last part comes. Then you don't know parts anymore, you know all of it. You're right up to headship. See? Maketh increase of the body unto edifying itself in love. So what are we looking here? We're looking at the fact over here in Ephesians, again in the fifth chapter, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word to the end. At that time, he could present himself a spotless church, which he couldn't present before because we're living right here. And we've got to be in the presentation. There's only one way that you and I are going to be perfect and holy and just and right before God, is something's going to happen under the seven seals and under the thunders. Now that's the rights of the church. That's, you follow me what I'm saying? Because you're going to, your understanding at this point is deepening from what has been previously. So you get the picture. Now, it's got a right to these things, but you've been cheated out of it because you got away from God's Word and God's Spirit anointing to vindicate the Word of the season, because they led you away from Malachi 4, 5, and 6 and took you from Elijah. Now you got cheated out of it. It was open. The thing wasn't done in a corner. The whole thing was done publicly. The attestation is in the skies. The attestation is here. But people got to go to some stupid so-called scientific explanation. They can't understand there's a spirit behind it all. They're so far away from God. It's pitiful. You people got kids going to school. I pity you. Your kids are taught every filthy thing under God's high heaven to take them away from Almighty God. And they come here and literally sneer, some of them. Or go out and sin. You bet. You'll have your day at the white throne, my brother, sister. Too bad we don't get our day ahead of time. The old day and under Israel, he just said, go out and kill them. Some of you get mixed up on a message of grace is. This is a message of grace, but it cuts both ways. You can't tell one message, my brother, my sister, ever came from God, but doesn't have a curse. Because men turn it down. See, they turned down the seven seals. They turned down the thunders. Because they turned down Elijah. Now let's watch later on down the road. They know about it. Now, they turned down the anointed, vindicating spirit of the word. And they took the anointing for the gifts. And listened to a lying spirit, which we'll see in a few minutes. You follow? Then he said, don't fail to get this message. What message? This message? No, the message of grace. And the message of grace is doing God a service. I'm very pleased the way Lloyd picked out that one on Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel? Showing the same thing. See? They got away. Okay, what's happened? They miss life and they get death. And in vain do they worship God, having for doctrine the traditions of men. See? 90. Notice what took place now. Micaiah said, I saw God sitting upon a throne in heaven. His council was gathered around him. And he said, whom can we get to go down and to see Ahab to make Elijah's word come true? My prophet that was vindicated. I spoke that he'd come. Now, you know that's not Micaiah speaking. Where is there any scripture on Elijah? Everybody knows Elijah the Tishbite came from nowhere, and nobody knew where he went except he went into heaven on a chariot of fire. You haven't got history or anything about it. He's not talking about that. He's talking about Elijah, which is here now, William Branham. Because everything he says points to himself. Hey?
My prophet is vindicated. I spoke that he'd come for this hour. And Elijah had my word. And heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not fail. I don't care how modern they get, or how good they get, or educated they get, or how big they are, my words will never fail. Now, Brother Branham absolutely then is proclaiming that God's word depends on God himself, so we must learn how God is going to bring this thing to pass. And this is for our day because he's giving us examples. Now, how did this thing take place here? Now, watch. Not a genuine spirit now comes, but a lying spirit comes up out of hell, falls down upon his knees, and said, and this is the vision that Micaiah had. and the lying spirit said, now, if you'll just permit me, I can give them my anointing, make them do any kind of sign or wonder, just as long as I get them off the word. Now, the spirit here is not saying, this devil's not saying, look, I'm going to give them my anointing, and they'll do lying signs and wonders. He said, I'm going to so anoint them with my lie that they'll believe everything is of God. The signs and the wonder and the explanation or the revelation. Now, just as long as they get them off the word. Now, the Holy Spirit here is not in these prophets' hearts. As Brother Branham clearly described, the Spirit of God is only anointing their spirits. They're still wrong in their souls. So the devil can get into their hearts and give them lies. Now, this lying anointing that's on these men is there to do one thing. Now, let's get it. What did Satan try to do in the beginning? Tried to take over the kingdom of God and God's own people. What did the devil do in the Garden of Eden? Take over God's people. So what will this spirit do? Take over God's people. All but the very elect. Now, they're all God's people. I'm going to take the whole thing over. You're going to get them off the word, see? Now, you notice here. This lying spirit says this at the time when those prophets already were anointed by the Spirit of God himself. I'm going to walk right in and take over. Now, how are you going to make anybody but a bunch of fools like us believe that? You're not going to get Pentecostals to believe that. Now, you might get some good reprobates to believe it. So that's right, you guys all got goofy spirits or something. Blame it on God or the devil. But how are you going to get people to believe this? Only the elect will believe this, brother and sister, because only the elect cannot be deceived. They are the only one that can fathom this. You know what will happen? These guys and who they represent, who follows them, are going to believe the lie and believe the devil's anointing is the Holy Ghost, and the others are in great danger of believing the anointing of God is of the devil, and both will blaspheme God. Now, this devil says he won't even know that this is your word. He'll ignore it for popularity. The devil says that to God up there. This is a scene from heaven. A devil says to God. Now, Brother Banner says, brother, times haven't changed. Brother Neville, that's true. You remember that's true. Now, he had to correct Brother Neville on prophesying and all. Now, he goes on talking. I'll get upon him and make him do the same things that the rest of them do. I'll make him prophesy and tell a lie. See? Now, how could it be a lie? Because it is contrary to the word. Now, watch. Contrary to what word? Contrary to the word of the hour. Now, they don't deny that it's evident. They don't deny that. See? The false ones cannot place the word, but misplace it. They can say what the word says, but there is no revelation. The reason I say that is, it is common understanding that these prophets would know that Elijah cursed Ahab and said, you're going to die. The dogs will lick your blood the same as they're going to eat up old Jezebel off the ground. She's going to be dung on the face of the earth. Now, you won't find these people denying the word. You're going to find them denying the revelation of it. You got to watch that. And these prophets prophesied out of their hearts, and they were deceived in their hearts. Now, 91. You take any of these false baptisms, false so-and-so-and-so's. I don't care how real it sounds, how much they try to impersonate, it's a lie if it's contrary to God's word of this hour. All right? You notice, in this hour, it became worldwide concerning an understanding that baptism in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was an error. The only person we know had anything to do with it previously, except the first century or so, was Servetus, and he died at the stake under Calvin. Nobody else had a clue, although they do say that a certain person talked to Luther about it and said we should do something about this. But there was no revelation, for he said it really shouldn't make any difference. As far as he was concerned, he didn't look at it. That's according to history. I don't know how true it is. Now, Brother Branham is speaking of false baptisms, which are in the wrong name. So this is checkpoint number one. And in checkpoint number one, both Trinity and oneness are wrong, so there is nobody right. Now, how are you going to get a prophet on the scene that takes away everybody's baptism? Can't do it. They won't take it. Because just across the board, that baptism, as far as they're concerned, holds good, and they care less. Now, it's a lie if it's contrary to God's word of this hour. And what is the word of this hour? Well, the word of this hour is positively Hebrews the 6th chapter. And 1 Corinthians 13. Because you're going on to perfection. You're no longer knowing in part. Every part has come up. So the whole word of God lies before us. And the people don't want it. Now, that's exactly right. You say, well, ours, well, we did this and we did this, our church is this way. I don't care what it is. If it's contrary to the written word for this hour, it's a lie. Now, the emphasis here, you will notice, is for this hour. And this hour is the seven seals, the seven thunders, and the doctrine that comes out of it, the restored word, to everything we left off is brought up. And everything that was injected is cut off. All errors are eliminated. All truth that was left out is brought in. So everything is in a wholeness, so we come right up to the head. In other words, we come up to the person who gave it. So we're looking at that. Now, so when he talks about the word of this hour, you've got to realize that Brother Branham is speaking of his own message, his own ministry. Now notice, he said, if it's contrary to the written word for this hour, it is a lie. Now, this gives us a warning. We can only use the doctrine and the scripture that fits exactly with the doctrine that he enunciated, and don't try to fit anything to it. Now that's where Ewald Frank made his big mistake. Brother Branham hadn't even died yet. As I recall, Brother Branham wasn't dead. He came over here insisting that he see me. Or was he dead? Let me get a memory now. I don't think he was. And because he knew I was writing the Church Ages, at that time the book had not been, wasn't published as far as I know, at least all of it wasn't. But anyway, he began arguing right there concerning things in Zechariah and other scripture that Brother Branham had not brought into respect of the doctrine which he set forth. And of course then, this to him would be wrong because he would have to put his two bits in. Well, you put your two bits in, I'll tell you, you're going to be here in the Great Tribulation. So have fun. Because the Bible says the plagues are going to be added. You see, you can't go outside of doctrine. That's why I say, I don't care how you quote and what you think you know. If you don't know the doctrine, you don't know where you stand, and you'll mess up on every single quote. Now, we're taking this word by word. And we're learning tonight the importance of the word of the hour. Not past hour. Not Pentecost. Not Wesleyan. Not Lutheran. Not Roman Catholic. Not Baptist, Anabaptist. Anything else. Don't care what it is. And you cannot put a new patch on an old garment. You have got to die, not be divorced, and marry somebody else. You're in whoredoms. And you can't hang the old man on the closet and shut the door. He's got to die. Yeah. If you can't do that, you've got trouble. Big trouble. Well, let's face it, you're not going to get there. Won't put a new patch on an old garment. God will have nothing to do with it. This Foster Waters, son-in-law, he likes to bug me now and then phone me. He sat with some fella that's believes in Darby. Sent me some tapes to listen to. I listened to one and that's the end of it. Because one fella glorifies Darby and Darby's passé. Darbyism has been knocked out years ago by fundamentalism. Not that he didn't have a few things. Who didn't have a few things? Then, of course, he mentions Brother Branham off the scene now, and Brother Branham had truth, and so it means this kid's going to have truth. He sits in his armchair, going to send me tapes. Send him back. Forget it. Right. You don't add to this message. Who do you think you are? Why do you think we take the message here verse by verse and word by word, not even paragraph by paragraph? Because we're going to look at every single thing that's said. When I see a man say, this hour, this hour, this hour, this hour, this hour, I better start looking this hour and realize something this hour. Amen. And start getting my thoughts lined up. And start getting in the divine flow. Let's save it. Even if you can't believe him all the way, get this. He's got more on the ball than any of us guys got. Yeah. You better start to try to believe something. See? The word is hour. If it's contrary to the written word for this hour. Now he tells you, it's in the book. The seals open it. The thunder's declared it, and he brings it to us. And it's always after the fact. We have the most wonderful, satisfying teaching that God ever gave anybody, anytime, anywhere. Yeah. Because we have got what the Apostle Paul said, thoroughly brought into light, as it never was before. No age ever had what we had. See? Now, no matter how sincere, how educated, how smart, how true it sounds, how reasonable it sounds. If it's contrary to the word of this hour, notice again. We'll get into that a little deeper in a few minutes, if time permits us. If we don't, we'll take it up again tonight. Now then, how reasonable it sounds. Okay. If signs are real, therefore they are close in manifestation, but then also close on the word, these people. They'll come with their reasonings. You get what I'm saying? They won't come, brother, sister, with some big outlandish word. Oh, the latter ain't pulled that jerky idea for a while. They said, oh, we don't need the Bible. We've gone plumb past it. And the rest of the guys said, okay, nuts, off you are. You're off the Bible, sure. Beat it, beat it, beat it. How many people are you going to get out of a billion Christians today that are going to follow a people that are so ridiculous? That's to say, we go past the Bible now. No wonder the Baptists and the rest of them sneer. And look at the gifts and things and call them the devil even. How ridiculous. No. It's got to sound reasonable. Now we're dealing with Scripture. So therefore, there's real signs. And the signs being genuine. They are not going to be far off the word. Only takes one word. So what they preach is not going to be screwy and hocus pocus and God knows why. The very word, brother, sister, that we dote on, that we dwell on, that we feast on, we live on, is appearing. Amen. And they got the same word in the same place. For wrong understanding. They're not out there, brother, sister, beating the woods like a bunch of idiots. We give them our revelation. We look like the idiots. All right. Oh, yeah. Look, get this, get this. They're close to us. Notice, he was sincere, a good man, no doubt. Then otherwise Micaiah said to him, not right to his face, but in other words, you're anointed with a lying spirit. Wouldn't that be something to tell a bishop? But he did it. Now, lying spirit's very common today. Actually, lying is very common. Never mind a spirit. Most people don't have their spirit to lie. Their own spirit is sufficiently a big liar. Like Brother Bannister, men in the world speaking lies. But these people have a lying spirit. What will that lying spirit do? It isn't going to come to make those people great, big, wonderful people and aggrandize them to the place where they're literally fools until it's time for the devil to let them just pull the rug and make the guy complete sap. Like I think we're seeing a rug pulled now. No, you're not going to see that. No, sir. That lying spirit will come in like he came to him and says, hey, listen, he said, talk to the church now. She's the woman. You know, God doesn't really mean that. How could he say this and mean that? Come on. You got to be crazy. He took and didn't he say you're going to populate the earth and take over? Then how are you going to die? See, you've been born again. You speak in tongues. You do this. How are you going to miss it? I've been explaining how they're going to miss it. I'm taking the prophet's words back to the Bible, back and forth, back and forth, and show you how it's going to be missed. And I don't care what anybody says. I'll tell you this. Even if I'm lying to you, I'm pretty close to being right because we're narrowing the thing down the way God said to narrow it down. So let's get that understanding. Like I told you, Brother Bannon said, one time he said, I hear 10,000 false messages. Got to shake them off. Well, I get pretty nervous when I think people believe what we believe. But I know they don't. I know there's no way they follow what we believe. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, get anybody out of here. You can, you know, I always say you can do what you want. You know, if you're not happy with me, get somebody to make you laugh and giggle. That's okay. I can make you laugh too, but that's not smart. All right, 93. And so this bishop walked up and said, you'll never have fellowship anymore. And smacked my car in his face and said, you know I'm a vindicated man. My church made me head of this thing. That's how the Pope got there, by vote. The popular vote of God's people made me leader. My organization made me this. Superintendent got that way, too. And God gave us this land. The district superintendent got that way, too, and the president. And he intends for us to have it belong to us. Oh, every organization thinks they got it. And I have thus said the Lord. And he smacked him and said, which way did the Spirit of God go when it left me? Now, Micaiah said, you'll find out one of these days when California sinks beyond California. When California's beneath the sea out yonder, Micaiah didn't say that. The same spirit that was in Micaiah said it through the prophet Elijah William Branham. What's he doing? He's telling you here. He's telling you here, look, you say you're going to have it. You say this is the way it is. I'm telling you, you're wrong. California is going to go in. And you're going to be here to see it go in. And it's going to go in on you. A lot of these things, see? Okay. Now, you'll notice that Zedekiah smacked or slapped Micaiah in the face. Listen, repudiation is known as a slap in the face. Laughing at a prophet is a slap in the face and a rejection of God. Now, let's just take a little peek over here in the book of Proverbs. Sometimes I get my quotes wrong. Because I might mix up some words. But so I'll read this to you now. And it's in Proverbs 28 and in verse 9. He that turneth away his ears from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Be abomination. Women's clothes, abomination. Wearing men's clothes, cutting their hair, abomination. Wouldn't hear a prophet. Tee hee hee, giggle, giggle, giggle. Now they're all praying, hallelujah. Let's go to Revelation, the 6th chapter. I think that's what I want. But isn't? Well, I'll have to forget it. 6 and 16. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall? And said to the mountains, and rocks fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne. They're going to pray, but they pray, but they can't. No, it doesn't do them any good. You know something? You try to pray outside of this message for salvation. See how far you're going to get. Because he said, nothing outside this message is going to come. Now, that's a pretty horrible statement to make, brother, sister. But I got to stay with the prophet. He said, nothing outside of this message will come to light. Now, you can be outside of this message and pray for eternal life. And if you really get it, you will believe the message. Because that's what we're talking about here, see? Because the Holy Spirit in your heart will certainly go to the Word of God. Now, what is Brother Branham saying here? As Ahab must die, and the dogs lick his blood, so California must go under the sea, for that is the judgment of God. Is this said to foolish virgin? Could be both. Now, 95. Now, Ahab, what are you going to say? I believe my prophet, he said. Now, what if he had just searched the word? See? He didn't want to see himself cursed. Okay. He didn't want to see himself cursed. Refusing to think it does not eliminate it. To turn away from hearing does not eliminate it. Hear me. He didn't want to see himself cursed. No man does. Certainly no man does. People who say they believe in the grace of God always figure something will come and save them. But this message is grace. And if it's rejected, then grace is rejected. They will not open their eyes, they close them. They will not open their ears, they close them. Let's go to Romans, the 11th chapter. See what God says. In verses 7 to 10, and remember, we are warned as he is speaking on Israel that our turn is coming the same with Israel. Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So if it's going to fall true to form under the seventh seal at the end time, only the elect will see it. According as is written, God hath given the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not and bow down their back alway. Okay? That's what you see. And now it's the Gentiles' turn. Okay. We've read Hebrews 6 many times. Let's look at it again. Now watch. At this end time. Just at the time of perfection. Because here's what happens at the time of perfection. For it's impossible. That's when all the parts are in. Impossible are those who are once for all and late. Tasted the heavenly gift. Were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Have tasted the good word of God. And the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall, you know, having fallen away. To renew them again to repent. Seeing they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. And put him to an open shame. In other words, openly shame him as the head of the church that he's come to redeem. Just shame him. Say, well, is that the best you could do? Look at, when Brother Branham saw those harlots in their rock and roll American dress, their filth, he wept in shame and disgrace, thinking what America had produced. Christ shamed at this end time. Put him in open shame. The Pentecostal harlots, tee-heeing and tittering. Just prophet. Come, you clown. Tell us about ourselves. Discern. Heal us. Or we sit back and smack our lips over our, like the whore does, smacking your lips. And chuckling and giggling. Listen, let me tell you something. If that's really what we believe, that God did visit his people. Well, that's both things. But that's really true, and that's true. And we saw the return ministry of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, as Brother Branham said. If that's true. If that's not open shame, you tell me what is open shame, brother, sister. Brother Branham speaks of that open shame where Phinehas, a Levite, kills an Israelite man with a Moabitish harlot. Right in the sex act. And the scripture says we should not be ashamed at his presence. John prays it. Knowing the church, after he wrote Revelation, he wrote the epistle, I believe, knowing that she would be naked, wretched, miserable, and blind, but telling us, don't be caught in your adulteries. Your rottenness. See? Okay. Having fallen away, they crucified themselves the first Son of God. For the earth which drinketh and the rain that come upon it. Now we are the earth of God, the husbandry. Bringing forth herbs meat for them by whom it's dressed. Receive a blessing from God. In other words, a trickle down from God by the Holy Spirit to the prophet, to a ministry. And people now listen and come to this word. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh to cursing, whose end is to be burned. They're right at the time of the curse and the burning. Okay, that's what he's talking about, and here's a perfect picture of it. Now, nobody wants to hear himself cursed. I'm going to read you a letter that's written by David Duplessis, caused by a brother Losch. It's a German name, L-O-E-S-C-H. I suppose that'd be Losch. Maybe, I don't know. How would you pronounce that? L-O-E-S-C-H. Losch, okay. Okay, now, this fella, he's an American, and he writes a letter to Demas Shakarian. I won't read it here, but Mr. Duplessis is given the letter by Shakarian, and here's what Duplessis writes back on August 31st, 1968. So that I can't be sued for libel. Here I'm just telling what was written. Your letter of August 6th with copy to Brother Demas Shakarian on the back dated July 10th reached me when I arrived home August 22. I also found California was still there as I left it when I left for Europe April 17, and the blessings of the Lord was being poured richly on the West Coast, which is supposed to be doomed to fall in the Pacific. Now watch. This was supposed to have happened February 4th, 1967. Where'd you get that? If you can find it, I'll eat this letter without benefit of jam, mashed potatoes, or anything else. And send Duplessis $50,000 cash. Out the Boris, I may be. But I don't have to worry about these things. I know I'm telling the truth. February 4th, 1967. And I was supposed to be in Los Angeles that day and prayed that it should not happen, just like dear old Abraham interceded for Sodom. Now, come on. Come on. How much scripture does this man know? He could find even 10 righteous there. I have found. He couldn't even find 10 righteous there. I have found thousands upon thousands of dear saints on the West Coast. I have not seen or heard that Brother Branham or any of the other prophets or prophecies have prayed like Abraham for the people they judge. Nor even do they pray like Jonah to Nineveh. I simply do not take notice of such prophecies. Even if it should happen someday and I meet sudden death, it'll simply be sudden glory. For I shall be with Jesus. I have no scripture to run away from death. You know scripture? If they persecute in this city, run to the next. I don't think David knows his Bible. He might know the Roman Catholic hierarchy. He might know Pentecost. He doesn't know his Bible. I know that man. Know him only too well. When he's with the Blood and Thunder bunch, Blood bunch on the hand and all, he was with them. Or these other guys, he was against it. You ever hear about a chameleon? Ugly little creatures. The only people I like to save from sudden death are the lost ones who need salvation. Exactly. I'm sure that Moses prayed for Pharaoh. But the saints may stay safely in California if Jesus wants to take them home that way. None of them will go to hell for living in California. I agree there. That's true. So I encourage God's servants to stay right there and preach the gospel faith to the last moment. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, and now you suggest that the salt should be taken out of the earth or they may perish. Jesus never taught that. I think you and others are more concerned that Brother Branham's prophecy should not turn out to be false. But dear brother, already many of his prophecies have proven false. Which one? Because of the very fact of his premature death. He was deceived by his friends and he prophesied to their ticklish ears. It seems that the man who prophesied judgment fell under judgment himself. Now, he just talked about love up here a minute ago. And now he never condemned. May I warn you, be careful that you not fall under judgment by judging others. And he didn't. Let us learn to forgive and love and save people. Blessings on you always and always. Sincerely in the love of Jesus. David Duplessis. So much for that. Nobody wants to hear a curse. Even they say when Dillinger was brought before the justice, I think his famous last words, something like, here lies a heart that never wanted to hurt or do harm to anybody. Yeesh, I'd hate to see somebody with a heart that did want to. No. No man does. In my organization, brother, that's what's the matter with you. You want to think that you're right when you know in your heart, when you're baptizing using the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you're lying. Now, is this a true statement of one under discernment? No doubt it is. Now, these people that baptize in a wrong way or any way, They just merely believe that God's a good God and doesn't really matter as long as you get baptized, which is not right, because Brother Branham said, it's thus saith the Lord, you must be rebaptized. Okay. You know when you predict, say those things that you're doing, and take initial evidences and all things like that, you're wrong. How can the initial evidence be speaking in tongues, then talk contrary to a promise of God in this hour? Now notice, he matches everything up to this hour and the word of this hour. It doesn't matter what you say about yesterday. That's not going to do one thing for you, good, bad, or indifferent. It's what you do now that counts. See? It's like I read in Ezekiel. You can be doing good, 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 come to this moment, and you don't take it, you're washed out. I don't care what it is. And you can be bad, 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 and you come to this point, take it, you're okay. See? That's the word of the hour. How can it be? You don't want the curse, do you? But here it's written, so shall it be. That's the mark of the beast. What's the mark of the beast? Taking the wrong word. Believing in anointings that goes with gifts rather than with the word. And remember, you simply cannot accept any word. You've got to have some vindication when it's this hour. So close it would deceive the elect if it were possible. Okay, they don't want to be cursed. That's true. But isn't there the scripture that says the curse of this hour is stones falling out of heaven 100 pounds apiece? Stoning of the harlot? Sure. And this is going to be so close, the very elect are the only ones that miss it. Not just elect, but very elect. That means that wise virgin, the very end time. They're the only ones that will have this. Okay. You'll notice also, this is 2 Thessalonians. Explain 2 Thessalonians. The second chapter. It says here, verse 9, even him was coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, they might be saved. Now, after they turn down the true sign, and they take the signs of the anointing that are true, but the message is false, you will see here that these people already have been deceived in their unrighteousness because they think they're right like Cain, and what they're doing is not correctly divided by Scripture and understood. It's not within the context of Scripture. It's misplaced, taken out, misinterpreted. They will take that and live according to precepts and say, I've got it. And they haven't got it, and they're the ones that are going to be deceived. Why? Because they left themselves wide open. Now, listen to me. Brother says, let's get the picture back in the Garden of Eden. Back in the Garden of Eden. Here was this fellow called the serpent, the beast. Oh, he was the beast. But you know, he was so close to man. And that's where the giants came from. So he's that great, big, beautiful hunk of manhood. And he hasn't got a soul. He goes by instinct. He goes by temperature. Now, if you've got a half a brain, you're catching what I'm saying. Temperature has to do with ovulation. And the serpent can tell within a hundredth of a degree or more. Because they go by heat. And he's handsome. Brutally handsome. And he knows the exact time to approach her. And he doesn't approach her when her temperature is low. He doesn't approach her outside of the time of the cycle when she is not only willing and available, she wants to enter the act. Now bring it to this hour. The word of the hour. Yes, amen. They're 100% open for deception. And here it is. Now from this point on, the devil's got her. He can do what he wants with her. And he'll do it. And she'll believe anything. So when the lying signs and wonders come, they pat themselves on the back and say, hallelujah. And I still think that somewhere Brother Branham told me, or I know he said it, that the lying wonder that this one pulls off is absolutely in the realm of the finances. I cannot prove that, but something sticks in my mind somewhere that's not on my own. I don't believe it, but don't take it as gospel. But they're lying signs and wonders. These are genuine signs. Now, what's the last little deal Oro pulled? Money, money, money. And he got his $4.5 million, and he's going for $8 million. You get it. Genuine signs. I saw Oro in a meeting in Columbus. Now, brother, sister, this is to glorify God, not glorify man. And I'm sorry, it's going to condemn the church. I saw Oro do just about what Brother Branham could do. The first dozen or 20 cases he came right by, there wasn't one miss. A little boy was fat. No legs. Except useless. Stringy legs. Hung like macaroni sticks. Father lugged the poor kid up there. Oro prayed. Dropped the kid on the floor, ran like a bat. Woman with a broken neck. Prayed. Deliberately took her. He'd have killed her. No problem. 20 solid miracles, I believe. But he went to money. Popularity, money. Never mind the women. His son will take care of that. Second wife now, who knows? Who knows? I believe Oro's a good man many ways. See what we're talking about. Take the mark of the beast. He's right already with it. Here's your deception. Okay, paragraph 96 on page 24. Every sign, every wonder, every anointed man, every prophecy, all kinds of things going forth, all kinds of signs, all kinds of wonders. How are you going to tell the difference? Watch the word for this hour. This is Exodus, right? Exodus time? Okay. What about the word for the hour? Matthew 24, 3 and 5. That's the word of the hour. What will be the sign of that presence? The Lord himself descend from heaven to get us out of here. Lord, how do we know you're here? What's going on anyway? Well, he said, I'll tell you, but you won't believe it. Jesus answered and said, T.K.T., that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, I am Christ, and deceive many. Many will come and say, I'm the anointed one. I've got the word to tell you. We're it. Yes, sir, we'll take you through. Okay? The word for this hour, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Matthew 12. Nobody believes that but you and me. Hebrews 6. Nobody wants to believe that. Revelation 10, 1 to 7. They don't want to believe that. Oh, they clothe it in mystery. And they clothe it in such a mystery, if it doesn't come by one of them, they're bound to turn down the one that God sends. Now remember, back in the days of the Exodus, previous to that, remember Brother Branham says here now, quoting, my prophet I said would come, right? Joseph said, get my bones out of here because you're going to get out of here. Joseph prophesied, letting him know they were going to be taken out of there. And they knew because of Joseph that God used deliverers, which were prophets. They knew to be a prophet. They knew someone was to come. The word of the hour. That's how you take heed. Now listen. The many will say the same thing. But only one will be different, because he knows the hour. And these prophets today, they're all saying the same thing. Well, there's no baptism but Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because there's three of them. And they excoriate the oneness, and the oneness are entirely wrong, because they're Jesus only. They don't understand one God. They're all saying the same thing, getting together against the word. One will say different. How do you know? Just find the one that's got the miracles and says different from the mob, that's all. Paragraph 97, watch Moses, how he could have told Balaam. Watch Micaiah, how do you know he's right? The word before him had prophesied death for Ahab. The word before has prophesied these organizations for this day and this curse upon them, and the things that would take place by his truly anointed church will have the word, a word bride. Here we are, here it is today, just as it was then. Okay, now let's watch this. It said here, how do we know he was right? The word before him had prophesied death for Ahab. The word before has prophesied these organizations for this day and this curse upon them. Okay. The word for this hour has prophesied these things. And they're extant before us. And these people knew that long as Ahab was living, he was a liability to them. Because if they prophesied he wouldn't die and he did die, they were stuck. And they knew there was coming a day when they'd have to prophesy, or the prophecy would be fulfilled that had been prophesied, and he would die. Now, the people right today know that Israel's in the homeland and something's going on, and something has got to happen. But they won't believe the one that's ordained to give the prophecy that this is it, which is happening. So you got your perfect picture. Remember, God always operates the same way, and people operate the same way, or God couldn't operate the same way. That which has been is now and shall be, for God doesn't change. See, so they knew it. Okay, the curse is upon whom? The anointed ones, because they are false. Okay, Brother Branham says here, and the things that would take place by his truly anointed church. That's the new branch. The anointed ones are anointed with the word. The truth. Now they will have the word and thereby be a word bride. Now that's an obscure statement except for vindication. Because who's got the word? There's got to be somebody got the word. How does God bring a word? Through a prophet. So let's have the prophet of God. Now, then notice something here. That once the prophet brings the word, then they all say it after it is spoken, but they try to set their own conditions. For Brother Branham gave us the rapture sermon, but they all set their own conditions. And they admit, here's a rapture coming. But they don't say it the way the prophet said it. What I'm trying to show you is this. These people will go to the Bible and be so close, they'll deceive the people. They won't be promulgating something out there that's so far off of the left field, brother, sister, out of the ballpark, as they say, oh boy. Look, even Brother Branham was wrong. Let's admit that he wasn't too far off of the scripture that says the Lord descend with a shout and call it a message, because that word klusma is the same word putting the church in order. It's the same thing. So you could go in scripture and say, well, I got to admit the guy's very close, but he's still wrong. See what I'm trying to tell you? These men are not going to be out of the ballpark saying stupid, innate, jerky things. Right. And be smart, sincere, honorable, right down the line. Speak respectfully, you bet they will. We're sticking their chins out. Listen, you read the better class of men today in Pentecost and in real church circles. They're cautious. They're clean. They're honorable. They're respected. But they're off the word. We're not talking about hoodlums and people out of the ballpark. That doesn't fool anybody. Like Brother Branham brings that. They won't call themselves Jesus. They'll let you know they got the anointing, though. All right, now. 98. The Bible said in the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. I spoke of Balaam Moses. Spoke now of my kind Zedekiah. Now I'm going to give one more, though there's hundreds of them, but one more is required to make two witnesses. I've got a whole string written down, but to preserve time. Now he turns. Jeremiah was a vindicated outcast, but also a vindicated prophet of God. He was vindicated and outcast as a prophet. They hated the man. They threw overripe fruit at him and everything else, and he put a curse upon them. And the things that he did, he lay there on his side and such, and gave signs that Israel was wrong. Every true prophet that ever raised up or was in the world cursed those denomination organizations in the church. How could it change by the unchanging God? Now, Brother Branham speaking here of organization simply meaning this. People getting together to agree. We are not here as a people getting together to agree. Now, we're bound to agree. If we have one mind and we have the mind of God, we're bound to be one of His Word. But we are following something that we did not originate or we did not come together and discuss and settle upon. We are discussing what we settled upon, given us by somebody else. We are not an organization. And we're not trying to get anybody else to believe. No, we're not. We try to win souls and all and show the truth, but we're not trying to organize. See, because this is not an organization. Okay, that's what happened back there in Israel. The Holy Spirit is the prophet of this hour. Now notice what he's saying. Not the prophet of the other hours. The Holy Spirit was not the prophet back there with Luther and Wesley, although he was here. And he had his own vicar. But he wasn't here like he's here. You're dealing with something entirely different now. The pillar of fire did not come to Luther, did not come to Wesley. Did not come to the Pentecost. They thought he did, but he didn't. Came to William Branham. All right? Proven by his picture. There it is. He is vindicating his word or proving it. The Holy Spirit was the prophet of Moses' hour. The Holy Spirit was the prophet of Micaiah's hour. The Holy Spirit which wrote the word comes and confirms the word. All right? That's true. If the Holy Spirit comes and confirms the word, that's got to be 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The same one that came to Moses, the same one that came to Paul, the same one that came to Elijah is the same one that comes here. Paragraph 101. Of course, he's the Holy Spirit in 100 because he vindicates himself. Now, 101. What happened in the time of Micaiah? Ahab was killed, and the dogs licked his blood, according to the word of God. O you false teachers, so saith God, someday you'll reap what you're sowing, you blind leaders of the blind. I'm not angry, I'm just telling you the truth. And I wouldn't have said this if up there in that room, if the Holy Spirit didn't say it in that manner. Now what's Brother Branham doing? He's speaking as the judge, indicting the generation, indicting the people that's leading the generation. See? Now, he said, you'll reap what you sow. Now back here, he said, Ahab was killed and the dogs licked his blood. Okay? What's going to happen now? Blood? Okay? Revelation chapter 14 and verse 20. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs long. There'll be blood licked up, you bet. Not just the West Coast Canal. See? He said, say it in that manner. Have they ever told you anything wrong? Have they ever told you anything wrong? Anything but what God proved it to be right? Wake up, my brethren, before it's too late. Now here is the judge projecting plumb down to the white throne. 102. Let me say this. How could a thorn wake up and not be a thistle when it was predestinated to that? He hasn't. I think he might have lowered his breath here, but how could a thorn wake up and be a thistle? Well, a thorn wakes up to it being a thorn, period. You think a thorn doesn't know what it is? How could the elect keep from seeing it? In other words, blind is blind and open eye is open eye. Now let's read it. How could the elect keep from seeing it? Because you're elected to see it. All the Father hath given me will come, said Jesus, but none of them can come unless it's given to me from before the foundation of the world, when their names were put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not on a church record, but on a book. Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? I would think in myself that this is Matthew 13:13-17, and Matthew 11, about coming. So let's go to Matthew, the 13th chapter. And we're looking at those verses, 13-17. And it says, therefore I speak in the parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither understand. So to understand, you've got to see and hear. That in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you'll hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, and for they see in your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things that you see, have not seen, and hear the things that you hear, and have not heard them. All right, now, that's about the how they're blinded. Okay, let's go to the 11th chapter, and we read 28 to 30. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See the invitation? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, you'll find rest to your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. See, they hear the voice, and they come. Now, he says up here, how could a thorn wake up and be anything but a thistle? In other words, no matter what Moses did, Pharaoh could never come. Why could Pharaoh not come? Because he was for the curse. Yeah. See? Let's read that in the book of Romans. You begin to understand these things here. You know, I know people don't like to hear these things. I remember a poor, dear, little, sweet old lady. She just cried. She said, if I had to believe that, I'd just have to leave God. Oh, I said, come on, Effie. You got to believe the Bible. Okay, verse 17 in Romans 9. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and my name should be declared through all of the earth. God wasn't going to show mercy on him. Couldn't destroy him. You have to have your name in the last book of life, and then you have to be, therefore, you have to be one of the thoughts of God manifested for this hour. 103, notice, Jeremiah stood vindicated before the people, yet they hated him. Notice that. Vindicated, yet hated. people won't accept that. They'll say, well, we didn't hate him. What he did, he just how could we believe him? No way. They couldn't believe him. And so he went out and made a yoke and put it upon his neck and stood before the people. They said, oh, we're the great people of God. We're Israel. We're sincere in our synagogue. We attend every Sunday. We offer sacrifices. And we pay in our money. How can Nebuchadnezzar ever hold the holy things of God? Brother said, huh? Your sins have done it. Now, remember, Nebuchadnezzar had already got power over the people. And they're saying, well, it can't last. It can't last. This is just, watch. God said, if you'll keep my commandments, I won't do this. But if you don't, it's coming to you. That's exactly right. Still the same. Keep his commandments, his word for the hour, what he promised. Okay, let's go to John 6, 25 to 30. Just looking at scripture, I think might be interesting. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they sent a rabbi, whence camest thou hither? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and fulfilled. Labor not for the bread that perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. In other words, he's the one that God has recognized and put his seal upon by manifestation that this is the Son of God. You have to believe it because it couldn't be otherwise. Then they said, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. See? Then they said, what sign do you show us? He already told them. But they said, we wanted something that we want. He said, no dice. Now they're just the same. Well, if Brother Branham had come and done so and so and so and so, well, then that'd have been fine. Well, he couldn't come and do so and so and so and so. He had to do what God did, want him to do. See? Get the picture. Okay. What's he promised for today? 1 Corinthians 15. Now, we cover a couple of verses. There we start the first couple of verses, maybe. Okay, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory, or hold fast, what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Now, he's talking not to the individual, but the Corinthian church. Then, of course, to the individual. But he's addressing the church where they're wrong. They had left their first love. They left the word which produced that love. Because it's got to come from the word. Because being there's the word is with God, and the word was God. You can't get away from it. See, now what is the word for this hour? What is the promise? It's the return to the word. The hearts of the children back to the fathers. That's not the only scripture. I will restore, saith the Lord. I will turn the children back to the fathers. What is he talking about? The book of Acts, the third chapter. All that the prophets have said. It's a revelation. And what is it for? It's at this time, which is when God raises up his son the second time. He raised up his son the first time, and they crucified him. He raised up the son the second time, the gift of the son, in the form of the Holy Ghost, and they despise him, neglect him, turn him aside, and crucify to themselves. So what's going to happen? Curses come upon the earth. See? Notice now. Jeremiah, by the will of God, a vindicated prophet, though hated, every one of them, all prophets were hated in their day. They did such strange things contrary to the denomination of that day. That is the way they put themselves together. Everyone hated him, even kings and everything else. So he put a yoke in his neck and said, thus saith the Lord, they're going to be down there 70 solid years, because he had an understanding from the word of God, it would be 70 years. Now, he had the word, just exactly, like a prophet's supposed to have it. And we have it just exactly as a prophet is supposed to have it. Make no mistake about it. Right, then Hanani, I guess you pronounce it H-A-N-A-N-I, Hanani, prophet from amongst the people, came and took up the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and broke it. He wanted to be a big shot among the people, see, when he was speaking contrary to the word of God. And he said, 2 years, they'll be back. Thus saith the Lord. Two anointed prophets. What was the difference in them? One had the speaking of the word, and the other one didn't. See? Now, had they listened to the one with the word, they would have been gathered back to God, but they didn't. Jeremiah said, amen, before all the elders and the congregation. All he said, amen, I hope you're true. He said, amen. He said, I'll buy that if that's true, he said. But so Hannah and I wanted to show he could be just as big as Jeremiah. You know they don't like anyhow. So I'm a prophet also. I'm more of a prophet than you are because you're prophesying a lie. Now, you see, the way they got this written here in quotation marks, they got this little Hananiah saying all this. That's not true. Hananiah says, you know they don't like you. Jeremiah answers, I'm a prophet also, and I'm a prophet more than you because you are prophesying a lie. You tell me God's people are going to be under such and such a thing. That's what they say today. I see, they're prophesying positively that the church is going to have everything just right and not a curse. They're all prophesying great blessings. They're prophesying great revivals. They're prophesying, that's what Duplessy said. How can any of those people be saved when they turn down the word of God? How can anybody have the Holy Ghost? How do they speak in tongues, jump over a wall? I don't care if they drop dead and rise again. It's got nothing to do with it. Once you have seen what God wants you to see, that's it. You're not going to get people to believe that. Come on. There's no way they'll believe it. They're going to believe what they think. That's what they say today. But you'll be there just the same as the church. You're cursed with a curse. All you church denominations that are holding to the tradition of man instead of the word of God, you are cursed by God. See? Now you notice this prophet, Hananiah, does not have the proof that Jeremiah had. No way, shape, and form. He's just got enough to get into the place where people want to believe. They do not want to come to the word and be blessed. They want their own word, and they don't want the curses that are going to be there because they turned down the word of Almighty God. Now, this scenario that is here, one man defying another, like Duplessy defying Brother Branham, like Hagin defying Brother Branham, like the Pentecost defying Brother Branham, like Oral Roberts and all of these guys defying Brother Branham. You better believe if this is the truth, and it's got to be the truth because it's in the Bible, you are going to have a Mount Abel and Gerizim experience wherein there are blessings and cursings. And nothing is going to be done about it because it's just as good as all over. How much time we got? 5 minutes. Well, we're not going to be able to finish it. So I'm going to stop here with the understanding. We'll start on this Sunday morning. And we'll go absolutely to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we'll go over the scenario of Moses after in the Exodus, wherein the blessings and the cursings are enumerated. And you're going to see just exactly what we're up against, that people do not want to countenance. It's tell us pleasant things. Bring us a blessing. If Elijah's here, do this, do that. But they don't want to realize it's a showdown. And the showdown is exactly the same showdown as Jesus. The showdown is the revealed, manifested word of the hour, take it or leave it. Jesus refused the showdown. He was the showdown. What he did was the showdown. And you've got the same thing today. Brother Branham was not called on the scene to listen to men, to say, do this, do this, do this. And then when it was done, say, hallelujah, I believe God. If he'd have listened to men, you'd have had at least 1 million people demanding 1 million different things, because you can get 1 million different things by just wanting variations or under different conditions. And they wouldn't be satisfied anyway, because somebody else would have said, yeah, well, you see, this is, and you can see what the guy can do. He's just bluffing everybody. Listen, you'll never get people to believe. It's either in them to believe or it is not in them to believe. A weed is a weed and a tear is a tear. But remember, this is here in God's way so that you, the elect, will not be deceived. You say, well, if it's all cut and dried, why did he bother? Well, it's not all cut and dried. There's nothing that's cut and dried. What it is the word of Almighty God. And you're looking at a God who desires to be glorified in a people. And for that, he is going to give us something that cannot possibly enter our minds, which first of all is the millennium and then New Jerusalem. So you are those who do not crucify the Son of God afresh to yourself and put him to an open shame. You put him in a position of glorification and a sovereign position of preeminence. See? Because one day it'll all come out. So there we are. Sunday morning will continue. It'll be our guest number 9. Let's rise at this time and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your mercy and love that you bring us together, Lord, to see these things in your word and to dwell even more thoroughly upon the word of the hour, which gives us a further step of gracious illumination, more steadfast in the word than ever before, to see where we are, under the conditions which we stand, and all these things that are so wonderful to our souls. Help us, Lord, now to never let what has happened to us in this meeting tonight be taken from our minds, but rather so impressed, O God, by your own Holy Spirit revealing it to us, that it becomes meat and drink to our souls, and therefore becomes a portion of our souls. As the prophet said, feeding the Christ within us, and therefore bringing the expansiveness to that one, that he may have more liberty and room in our very lives. Help us, Lord, to meditate upon these things day and night, Lord, to bind them really within our hearts and our minds as never before, repudiating everything, O God, that is against this word, until finally we come forth as a word bride, and be like that branch that you set forth, and we be a branch unto the Lord, and you identifying us, and we identified with you. That is wonderful to think of it, a Christ-identified bride. So, Lord, we just humbly thank you for what we have learned tonight from your word. We appreciate it so much. And know, Lord, that this living word will live and move somehow the way you want it to move. And we will get there, Lord, somehow. We will get there, Lord. Because we believe that, for the Apostle Paul, that you which have begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to bring those up out of the ground that never had this, and it's going to safely see us not in the ground, but off of the ground, in a more glorified body, into a rapture, and into the wedding supper, and then into this realm, Lord, that we know nothing of except we've heard of it, and we have no way of knowing until we experience it, because we know that's your way of doing things, after the fact, as it were. Being a part of the fact. Yes, Lord, being a part of the fact and the constant revealing of the fact and bringing it more and more from the promise negative to the promise fulfilled. And then we knowing each step as we partake. And Lord, it is wonderful to know that's what you're doing now. So Father, we believe we've taken another step forward and upward. And unto thee we ascribe all the honor and glory as you keep us safely in your will by the blessed Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.